The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Remember when the Knicks used to play in New York? Yo, no one's thinking about the Knicks anymore. The Knicks are a pathetic laughing stock joke because a fish rots from the head down, Jim Dolan. But I'm going to stop being so nice to Dolan in a little while. You're going to hear me really go in on him, Raj. That was nice. That was with the kids' gloves on. James Harden rejects the Rockets' extension offer with a focus on the Nets. I didn't even know you could offer a guy $50 million. I guess certain number of years in the league, what a salary already is, all these kind of complicated cap rules. Nets offered him 2 years, $103 million. First ever $50 million player. I remember Michael Jordan when he started going year to year toward the end of his career. Because, Reinsdorf had him way under market for most of his career. Then Jordan started taking like $27 million a year. But, like, I want to say the max contract that you could get back then was like $12 million. I don't remember how they got Jordan for $27. He was making like literally two and a half, three times what the next highest paid guy was making per year. But if you have a certain number of years in the league, certain number of years with the same team, you're already at a certain level of your salary. You know, all that affects what you can be offered. But $50 million a year. James Harden said no to $50 a year. And I don't blame him. If you're past 30 and you've never won a championship and you don't believe the franchise that you're on is going to win a championship or get you the help you need or is rudderless or is not what you're used to or going in the direction you prefer, then this is it. Like, Harden might be looking like, I might be an effective basketball player 3 years from now, but there's no guarantee that I'm in my prime still. I'm in my prime now. I don't know how many years left I have in my 30s at this level. I want to win a championship now. I get it. And that's not going to be in Houston. I mean, look, part of the problem is he didn't come up big when they needed him most. On the other hand, he led a team with almost no talent on it compared to the Warriors and took them to a Game 7 and had a home game for that Game 7 and didn't have Chris Paul available to him. And he didn't shoot it well, but neither did anyone else. But I get it. He wants to go somewhere where he can win a championship. He sees Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, and he knows they're not going to move Kyrie, right? But even if they did somehow, Harden and KD and Dinwiddie and LeVert, or Harden and Kyrie and KD, you got to get to the finals with that team, you would think. I have a star rating system, right? 5 stars is an MVP caliber player. 4 is an all-star. 3 is a starter. 2 is a rotation piece. 1 is a replacement level player. If you have 2 5-star players on the same team, you're probably going to get to a finals at least. KD is a 5-star player. Even if he's not 100% himself after the Achilles, he's going to be a 4.5. Harden's a 5. They're both MVP caliber players when last seen in action. And Kyrie is not just a 4. He's a 4+. He's a 4.5 or something like that. Teams with that kind of talent on them make the finals at least. Even if you just stacked up the talent, that Nets team would have more talent than they would be likely to achieve at that level. In other words, if you could take that same talent and make the right pieces fit better, that would be a better team. Nevertheless, you just figure out how to make it work if you have KD and Harden and Kyrie on the same team. But how could they do that? How could the Nets afford Kyrie, Harden, and KD? Well, the guy who broke all this with his Woj bombs is more than one, right? ESPN's NBA insider. Do I really have to label Woj? He's a cottage industry unto himself. Adrian Wojnarowski. How could the Nets afford Kyrie, Harden, and KD?
They have an owner in Brooklyn and Josiah who is willing to go deep in luxury tax, and having three max players and a player like Joe Harris, you're going to have to re-sign in this offseason. Mm-hmm. It would be an expensive proposition. There aren't a lot of teams in this pandemic right now who would be willing to spend the way the Nets would be to have to do a deal like this, take on Harden's money long term.
The thing is, the Nets are about to own New York for a generation. The Knicks, listen, Knicks fans, Dolan can't hurt you anymore. I used to, the Max Kellerman show in New York City 10 years ago, whatever it was, 15 years ago. I used to call, have a Knicks fan hotline. If you felt you were being abused by the owner, you could call in. Right? Well, Dolan can't hurt you anymore. Back then, there wasn't a lot of options, right? What could you do, just not root for your hometown team? Because the Nets played in Jersey. Nets are in Brooklyn. A team grows in Brooklyn. Do you realize Brooklyn's been without a championship since 1955 and without a major league team since 1957 when Walter O'Malley picked up and left for L.A.? Do you understand? The late, great Jack Newfield, editor at the Village Voice, writer for the New York Post, author of books. Remember Don King, The Life and Crimes of Don King, Only in America? Remember that book was made into an HBO movie? That was Jack Newfield. Jack Newfield used to have boxing, how would I put it, soirees at his house, right? Teddy Atlas and me, before we were on TV together, a whole bunch of people would go over to Jack Newfield's house and watch old fights leading up to a pay-per-view fight. And we'd all, there'd be about 15 or 20 people in the room. It was funny, about half of the guys who weren't in the boxing industry were FBI and the other half were mob, right? Like in the same room watching old fights. That's the boxing crowd. Anyway, Jack Newfield used to say, he used to call them the three antichrists of the 20th century. He would literally name two dictators, I don't even want to drop their names on the radio, and Walter O'Malley, who took the Brooklyn Dodgers to L.A. That's how people from Brooklyn felt about it. And then the Nets come to Brooklyn, a basketball obsessed. New York is basketball before it's anything else. By the way, by far. The reason it's baseball is because the Yankees are the greatest franchise in the history of world sports. By far, by the way. So if you have that, of course, you know, people will pay attention to it because you're usually winning championships. And football is huge in the rest of the country. And it's big in New York, too. But Giants are big in New York. But basketball is the New York game because there's not a lot of space. But you can play basketball with one person with very little space, or 5-on-5, right? Basketball is called the New York game. And yet in New York, we've been subjected to the most pathetic franchise, the Knicks. They're such a disgusting laughingstock that they can't get people to take their money. Remember, we're trading Kristaps Porzingis because we're trying to build for the future. Hold on, dummies. You're trading a franchise unicorn on his rookie deal to build for the future? Do you remember the Houston Rockets going, we have to trade Hakeem because we need draft picks for the future? The Spurs going, we got to get rid of Duncan. Draft picks for the future. Dirk Nowitzki on his rookie deal in Dallas. Draft picks for the future. Could you imagine? Nonsense. And then they wound up with Julius Randle. It's the only guy who would take their money. Here's $10 million. Hey, will you take it, Julius Randle? We can't get anyone else to take it. Julius Randle's like, great, I can't get anyone else to give me the money. It was $10 million a year, wasn't it? It wasn't $20 million a year. Who said $20? Was that Chris saying $20? I don't think it was $20 million a year. Anyway, the point is,
$80 million for 4 years.
They gave Julius Randle $80 for four? That's even better than I thought.
Tim Hardaway Jr. contract.
Anyway, oh, my God, it's so good. All right, anyway, what choice did you have now that against that backdrop? No team in Brooklyn in any sport. Not only do you get a team in Brooklyn after 65 years, but it's a basketball team. That's what the city really wants. And it's not just a basketball team. It's Dr. J's old franchise. And it's not just Dr. J's old franchise. KD and Kyrie are on it. And it's not just that KD and Kyrie are on it. James Harden wants to play there. Do you understand if you win a championship? Let me give you a little evidence. In 86 or 87, you get great seats to a Yankee game, it was $100. A Giants game, maybe it was $200, something like that. If you wanted to sit courtside for a Knicks game, floor seats for a Knicks game, it was $1,500. $1,500. There was far, it was the only place to, in Manhattan, right? Brooklyn's right there, though. It's not like you got to go out to Jersey or way up to the Bronx. And it's basketball. And it's the, do you understand if the Knicks, sorry, if the Nets, no one's thinking about the Knicks, if the Nets got Harden, even if they don't, just with KD and Kyrie, what do you think floor seats are going to cost for the Nets? If you win a championship in Brooklyn, Brooklyn rings bells around the world in a way that, like, I was born in the Bronx. My parents are from the Bronx. If you're from New York, it's a cool place to be. But around the world, people are naming their kids Brooklyn in, like, China, right? It rings. You win a championship with the Brooklyn Nets? That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Scoop Jackson, ESPN senior writer, is on the phone. What's up, Scoop?
Man, what's up, Max? I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a boring segment right here because you and I agree on everything right now. So I'm telling you right now, it's going to be boring.
Well, maybe we'll find disagreement.
No, I don't think that. I was watching you this morning. Everything you said this morning, I was agreeing with you with. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go on Max show. It's going to be bad.
Well, listen. That's quite an intro that you just gave yourself.
I agree with everything you said. I agree with everything you say right now. I agree.
See, Scoop, here's the thing. I think you're entertaining enough even if we're agreeing. Apparently, you lack self-confidence.
No, I love self-confidence. I like it better when me and you are like the two old men on the Muppets.
The judges.
Right. The judges, yeah. But see, now, you know, I think we're going to be more like, you know, Ebony and Ivory. 10 feet and brown shoes. So, you know, whatever.
Who's Ebony? All right, listen. Let me ask you something. Scoop, let me ask you something. I was arguing about this with Stephen A. on the air today. I say Harden, if Harden winds up on the Nets and they don't trade, I bring up the late, great Dr. Jerry Buss, greatest owner by so much it's ridiculous in the history of American team sports. He told Kobe when Kobe wanted to trade, Kobe wanted to go to the Clippers. Dr. Buss said, Kobe, you're a 5-carat diamond. I'm not breaking you down into 5 1-carat diamonds. How do I get equal value for you, right? So if you're the Rockets, you have Harden. You're looking at the Nets like, I like LeVert, I like Dinwiddie, I like a draft pick. Yo, you ain't getting Harden without upping at least Kyrie Irving, right? But let's say somehow they keep Kyrie and add Harden. What I say in year one, you must make the finals. But considering you just came together, you don't have to win it year one. You have to win it together at some point, but maybe not year one. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I agree. You said that earlier this morning. I agree with you right now. I think there will be pressure on them to, you know, win it in game one. But I think it doesn't all fall apart if they don't. A lot of it will focus on how they lost. Like I said, they at least have to get out of the East. And then they have to at least show up in the finals. You know, but I don't, especially if there's a 3-year, if there's a window and everybody's contract lines up and they're at least there for 3 years, then they have to win at least one or two of them within that 3-year period while together. But, you know, the pressure's only on them to make it to the finals and get out of the East, probably at least. And once again, it's how they lose if they lose. You know, if they get blown out, that was one of the problems that we had in Houston. I know you're probably going to want to talk about James Harden and the Houston situation. But a lot of Houston's problems wasn't the fact that they lost, it's how they lost.
Yeah.
Every year. And if Brooklyn, if they get all three, which I'm not with anyway, but if they do get all three, it's going to be in year one more about how they lost than the fact that they did lose.
So, if they get to, if they lose in the finals, talking to Scoop Jackson.
If they get to the Eastern Conference Finals and they wind up playing Miami, a team who was just in the finals last year, a team who's probably going to come back stronger with a year of playing together under their belt. If they lose to Miami in 7 and don't make it out of the East, you know, if the games are tight and they don't get blown out, they will be understanding about, well, hell, you know, Miami is that team. They were focused on doing this. They were more prepared because they were together last year. They're actually more advanced, even with, as team chemistry goes, than the Nets are this year. We won't accept this next year. But right now, there could be an understanding of why Miami could beat them in the conference finals, depending on how they lose.
Or Milwaukee. We get to that in a second. Scoop Jackson.
Yeah, exactly.
You can check him out on ESPN Plus right now. His picture's up there from when he used to be a New Edition, apparently. why'd you leave that group? You guys were making hits. I saw you dancing around in Mr. Telephone, man.
Hey, man, me and Ralph Chazan, baby. You know how we do it.
Hey, So speaking of the Milwaukee Bucks, they trade for Drew Holiday and Bogdanovich, but Bogdan, not Bojan, right?
Yeah,
the
right.
Bogdanovich,
right.
Yeah,
right.
So, from the Kings. So let's back up for a second. Malcolm Brogdon, they let him walk out the door, and I get what's his name from the Bills, from the Bulls. Mirotić wanted to play in Europe. Yeah. I, you know, if they would have kept him, that he was excellent. Like they,
to me,
had he been healthy in that original run they made, maybe things are different. But Brogdon, you had a chance to keep and grandfather in under the cap, but you'd have had to pay luxury tax. But right now with Brogdon, they could have made a deal for a superstar. They didn't have him. That ship has sailed. You know what I think, Scoop? The deal they just made, I see them trimming a lot of fat. The only guy I really like is DiVincenzo, and he may be years away, right? If he ever develops into something really worthwhile. Otherwise, I don't care about anything they lost in that deal, but they get back. Not only is Bogdanovich a shooter, but he's a playmaker. Yeah. He's one of those, like, you know, bigs who can really move the ball, right? And and Drew Holiday.
Yeah, and he'll probably play better in this system in Milwaukee than he did in Sacramento.
Sure, so ball movement and shooting. Yep. And then Drew Holiday is a quasi-bubble kind of all-star player in the regular season, but a superstar in the playoffs who really locked down defense and can hit big shots and can playmake. When I look at this construction right now, Scoop, you got that second playmaker behind Giannis. You got a 3-and-D guy plus in Middleton, like a poor man's Klay Thompson sort of, but like an all-star caliber guy. You have Brook Lopez who can defend the rim and bomb. Like, you got a lot of stuff on this team all of a sudden. All five positions, it's like can shoot and defend.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, Drew Holiday is the version of Eric Bledsoe that they thought they were getting when they made the trade to get him from Phoenix. That's what Drew Holiday is. So he completes everything that you're trying to do in Milwaukee. But here's the thing. The only thing I disagree with you on is that we may not be having this conversation, Max, if they make, and I don't know if the money was there, I have to go back and think about it, but if they decided a year ago to keep Brogdon and then let Bledsoe go. I think we may not be having this conversation about Milwaukee because Brogdon probably would have done and serviced them to cover up some of the mistakes and some of the blanks they weren't getting in the bubble, in the playoffs, against the Miami that Drew Bledsoe didn't come through and do.
But Drew Holiday
was a much more reliable, right, much more reliable. But I'm saying
Drew Holiday's like a better version of Brogdon.
No, I get it. I get it. But I'm saying is that if they advance past Milwaukee because of Brogdon's play, then we may not be having this conversation
right.
And somebody else may be going there, right? That's what I'm saying. Because
Scoop, what I'm saying, but I'm bringing up
him didn't come through.
But
he didn't come through, and Brogdon, I think, would have come through.
Right, but
that's
although Brogdon had an off year last year, but I'm bringing up this because when you look at the Nets, they have better upper-end talent, but the pieces don't fit just right. You have a couple of ball stoppers.
Right.
You have KD coming off injury. When you look at the Bucks, they don't have the same talent. That usually means you're not going to win. The more talented the team with the more upper-echelon talented guys win. But Drew Holiday running your point with Bogdanovich and Middleton and Lopez surrounding the freak, those pieces seem to fit almost perfectly together. Like, that's ideal. Do you think they would have a shot to knock off the Nets, the Bucks would, with this current configuration if the Nets got Harden?
If the Nets got Harden? Yeah, I think if the Nets get Harden, anybody has a chance to really beat the Nets in a seven-game series because there's going to be no defense there. And the culture of what the Nets are, especially with a first-year coach like Steve Nash, is going to be vacant. There's not going to be there. They're not even going to have any culture. They're going to try to figure out what their culture is with a first-time coach. I don't really see that happening. So there's a lot of teams, you know, and with the Bucks included, that could beat the Nets if they do get Harden. But here's the thing. My question to you about the Bucks is, will Drew Holiday make Giannis a better player in seven-game situations when it comes to the playoffs? Because the greatest Giannis is, right. Now, if he can do that, then the Bucks are going to be a problem. And they have to find a way to not base everything they're doing offensively on Giannis when he gets into situations and schemes that he can't be Giannis.
Well, that's
in.
The point of Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday can take over ball handling responsibilities at a high and clutch level And Giannis can be in the dunker spot or like use the way Ben Simmons sometimes is instead of running the show, because Holiday is like souped up Rondo. Rondo's not very good in the regular season. He's excellent in the playoffs. Holiday is very good in the regular season, and he's great in the playoffs. Like the Bucks are going to be a problem. They need to deepen the team a little bit now. They don't have as the depth they used to have, but that starting five is going to be a problem. Both the Bucks and Phoenix really have impressive starting fives. And Scoop Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, joined us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I don't know why he left New Edition, Raj. Can we see that picture again on ESPN Plus? Look at that.
Cool it now.
You got to slow it down. Do you remember why they were called New Edition, Raj?
Because they were going to be the new thing. The Beatles.
No. Think.
The yes. Jackson 5.
Yes, the Jackson 5. The Beatles. New Edition was like the new version of the Jackson 5. This is 1983, I want to say. Popcorn love, but it's more than I remember that well. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance, but then Scoop left the band and left the group. That's when it all started going downhill.
Come on,
Scoop,
get through it.
Scoop was
it.
Like, yeah, this is good, but can we see that picture one more time on ESPN Plus? This is Scoop from when he was in New Edition. And once he left, it was all downhill after that. You know, he thought he could make some money in the sports commentary business. And he thought, like, New Edition was just a passing fad, so he left the group.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Chicago.
X. Max.
By the way, Suns might have a big three if Chris Paul's effect on DeAndre Ayton is what it might be. Look, DeAndre Ayton's not far from an all-star. Chris Paul and Devin Booker are two of a big three. If Ayton takes another step, that's an all-star. That's a big three. James in Los Angeles. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Well, thanks for having me. Well, you know, Giannis, he means a lot to the young people in Wisconsin, and they responded by showing up to vote. They love him, and it would be a shame for him to leave. I mean, he means so much to the people there.
Well, here's the thing.
Listen, basketball.
I hear you, and I think he wanted to stay. Here's the thing. Those three guys who own the Bucks played Milwaukee cheap. If you want to be big-shot billionaires who own a basketball team in a market like Milwaukee and you have an asset like Brogdon, but you don't want to pay luxury tax, so you let him leave for nothing. If you just pay the luxury tax and sign him up, you've now grandfathered in an escalated cap number, really. And now you can break moves, Raj. Breaking moves. You can make moves. For real, you can maneuver with that. You can use him in a package to bring in a Chris Paul or whomever. Can't do that now. So they've done the best they could since then. I think they made a very good deal in the short term to bring in Drew Holiday and Bogdanovich. But if Giannis leaves, it ain't his fault. It's the Milwaukee Bucks' cheap owners. I don't want to hear about a luxury tax from billionaires. Sell your team to a really rich guy in that case. And shut up. A town like Milwaukee has a chance to win a championship every once in a billion years. And you guys played them cheap. But that's a nice recovery, Raj. Bringing in Bogdanovich and Drew Holiday, given the screw-up of not re-signing Brogdon, bringing in those two guys, it gives you a fighting chance at least. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. You got 30 seconds.
Hey, Max, love the show. Thanks. I appreciate your passion. Fits in with Chicago. It's really not part of the Bears' business model, right? If you look at all the statistics, how many quarterbacks have you had when the Packers only had two or the Patriots have only had a couple, right? It's a laundry list. And I think it's just not part of the business model. As a season ticket holder, I see it firsthand. I get the communications. Who tweeted this morning? It was one of the Bears players. He matched up how many yards Cordarrelle Patterson had.
Yeah, I know, I get it. But when you say not part of the business model, they traded up to get Trubisky. Had they just taken Patrick Mahomes, then it is part of the business model. In other words, we can't excuse the fact that they don't know what the hell they're looking at in college quarterbacks. And then if they do, they don't know how to develop them. Harden turned down what? To go where? Let's get into this, the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Me, and he was my program director in New York and L.A., actually, and when he was with ESPN, and used to teach me about doing this, right? So you make a point. So here's your point, Mitch. Your point is that you think if they can keep they can get Harden without giving up Kyrie or obviously KD, they should win it all, right? Is that what your point is?
Well, at least get to the finals.
At least get to the finals. So Michael Thompson would sit there and go, not the basketball player, the program director would say, and? And he would just sit there, keep saying, and? So I'm going to do that to you. Ready for this? Raj, I'm producing a radio call now. So they would at least get to the finals if they can keep Kyrie and Harden. And
get James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have, they're kind of deep. They have a pretty good roster.
Mm-hmm.
I think they still have a few first-round picks this year. Or in the coming, maybe they have a mid-level exception,
and maybe they have a mid-level obsession.
Get over the hump.
All right, Mitch, this has gone as far as it can. Thank you for the call. See, now if it was what Mitch should have said is something like, "And like you get to a point." What Mitch's point seems to me to be, Raj, is that it doesn't matter exactly how the talent fits. It's that when you have what Dr. Jerry Buss called the late great Dr. Jerry Buss, greatest owner in the history of American team sports by far. A 5-carat diamond, you don't break it down into a smaller diamond. In the history of the NBA, the winner of the deal is the team that gets the best player. So what he's saying is get James Harden and add Harden to Kyrie, who's special, and KD, who's special. Don't swap him out for Kyrie. That would be something. See, this is what I get for taking a call right away. I should have just gotten to my point. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Mitch just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. I tried to coach him through a call, and maybe he'll do better next time. Seemed like a nice enough guy, Raj. Now, I want to get to the Bears. Look, Nick Foles was carted off after being slammed to the turf late in the fourth. I couldn't tell what it was at first. I was like, wait, was that his shoulder? Was it a rib? Was it at a certain point, he was like, couldn't move his foot. I was like, was it an ankle? What the hell just happened? And even on replay, I was like, I guess it's his shoulder-ish. I was hoping it wasn't his neck, right? Because they were stabilizing him. I'm like, hopefully it's not an upper part of his spine. And it turns out it's a hip pointer. That's like the best news he could get, right? A bruise, you know, where your hip points out. It's a deep bruise. That's a hip pointer. They carted him off. Could have been a lot worse. Matt Nagy said Foles was still being examined by team doctors and suffered either a leg or a hip injury. Look, this is what I was thinking as I watched Nick Foles go down. Nick Foles has not played well. But Nick Foles is not a guy who's going to elevate a team with a bad offensive line without depth at receiver, you know, that kind of thing. If you protect Nick Foles and block for the run, and you have some guys who can catch the ball, Nick Foles will not only not stop you, and a defense, he needs a lot, but not only will he not stop you from winning, he'll wind up being the reason you win. He'll come through in the clutch. He'll manage the game and come through in the clutch. He's an average NFL quarterback, which is a pretty good thing. But you got he's not the fastest guy in the world. He doesn't have the biggest arm. He can throw the ball down the field. He is, and he's a leader. Guys like playing with him. So I'm not so down on Nick Foles as everyone else, even though he's been terrible. The offensive line. The Bears didn't have a good offensive line coming into the season. They have four injuries. Four of their starters are down, plus some guys who back up the starters. They're playing third, fourth stringers in some cases on the offensive line. At least third stringers. And it's a bad line to begin with. They're just, it's garbage. They can't block anyone. They can't, you know, they can't help the running backs out. They can't protect Nick Foles. And they only have one real receiver in Allen Robinson. The other guy's just okay. And you've heard about Casey Joyner, the football scientist, on this show, how he talked about run blocking. A great running back behind bad run blocking gets 2 yards a carry, 3 yards a carry. A bad running back behind great run blocking, 7 yards a carry. Right? So they have no run blocking, and they can't keep the quarterback clean, and they don't have a receiving core. But here's the point. I am 47 years old. I've never seen the Bears with a great quarterback, ever. Jim McMahon, you're going to tell me that this guy, he was okay. He was fine. He's a media personality. They did it with that defense, the 85 Bears. And since then, this is how popular the Bears are in Chicago. I feel your pain, Chicago. If you're listening on Sirius XM right now, or if you need to, you know, check out the podcast. I hear you in Chicago. I feel your pain. Because think back to the Bulls dynasty for a second. And Jake, I'm going to go over a little bit right now. Think back to the Bulls dynasty for a second. They had Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was the most famous and greatest athlete in the history of the world. Chicago had Michael Jordan in his prime with other Hall of Famers. They won the championship every year. And on Saturday Night Live, you know what the big joke was? The Bears. That was the Bears hadn't done anything since 85. Jordan was winning the championship every year, setting the world on fire. No one's ever seen anything like him before or since. The Bears. What about the Bulls? It was about the Bears. And the Bears in my lifetime, you know who the best quarterback is since McMahon, who was okay? Jay Cutler. It's a competition between Jay Cutler and Kyle Orton and Rex Grossman. This is the Chicago quarterback situation in my lifetime. Bears fans deserve something better than this. They miss every time. Traded up for Trubisky in a draft with Patrick Mahomes. They traded up for Trubisky, who lost his job to Nick Foles, who can't get protected by an offensive line. If you're a Bears fan, how do you stand for this? How do you stand for this? A town that's more obsessed with football than just about anywhere on earth, who once had the greatest football team of all time, the 85 Bears, has never had a single quarterback. Still, year in and year out, just excuses. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Ax Max coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. Ax Max.
By the way, Suns might have a big three if Chris Paul's effect on DeAndre Ayton is what it might be. Look, DeAndre Ayton's not far from an all-star. Chris Paul and Devin Booker are two of a big three. If Ayton takes another step, that's an all-star. That's a big three. James in Los Angeles. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. Well, you know, Giannis, he means a lot to the young people in Wisconsin, and they responded by showing up to vote. They love him, and it would be a shame for him to leave. I mean, he means so much to the people there.
Well, here's the thing. Listen,
basketball.
I hear you, and I think he wanted to stay. Here's the thing. Those three guys who own the Bucks played Milwaukee cheap. If you want to be big shot billionaires who own a basketball team in a market like Milwaukee and you have an asset like Brogdon, but you don't want to pay luxury tax, so you let him leave for nothing. If you just pay the luxury tax and sign him up, you've now grandfathered in an escalated cap number, really. And now you can break moves, Raj. Breaking moves. But you can make moves. For real, you can maneuver with that. You can use him in a package to bring in a Chris Paul or whomever. Can't do that now. So they've done the best they could since then. I think they made a very good deal in the short term to bring in Drew Holiday and Bogdanovich. But if Giannis leaves, it ain't his fault. It's the Milwaukee Bucks cheap owners. I don't want to hear about a luxury tax from billionaires. Sell your team to a really rich guy in that case. And shut up. A town like Milwaukee has a chance to win a championship every once in a billion years. And you guys played them cheap. But that's a nice recovery, Raj. Bringing in Bogdanovich and Drew Holiday, given the screw-up of not re-signing Brogdon, bringing in those two guys, it gives you a fighting chance at least. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. You got 30 seconds.
Hey, Max, love the show. Thanks. I appreciate your passion. Sit in with Chicago. It's really not part of the Bears' business model, right? If you look at all the statistics, how many quarterbacks have you had when the Packers only had two, or the Patriots have only had a couple, right? It's a laundry list. And I think it's just not part of the business model. As a season ticket holder, I see it firsthand. I get the communications. Who tweeted this morning? It was one of the Bears players. He matched up how many yards Cordarrelle Patterson had.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But when you say not part of the business model, they traded up to get Trubisky. Had they just taken Patrick Mahomes, then it is part of the business model. In other words, we can't excuse the fact that they don't know what the hell they're looking at in college quarterbacks, and then if they do, they don't know how to develop them. Harden turned down what? To go where? Let's get into this. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.